Yeah, very good evening, and you're welcome to another edition of the Terrace Talk programme. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. I hope you find you well on this chilly December evening. Hopefully the Christmas shopping and everything else is going the way you want it to, and there's no last minute rush or anything else, but it's great to see the streets of our county towns and villages nice and busy in the run up to Christmas. But it's all sport. You can avoid the Christmas turkey chat for another while between 6 and 8 this evening. Of course, we'll be looking back on Cremorne's agonising defeat yesterday in the Ladies Junior All-Ireland Final, losing out by just a single point to Muckley of Kilkenny in Parnell Park. We'll be chatting to our dynamic commentary duo of Dan Kearney and Breda O'Shea in the next little while to review that, and also maybe to look ahead to the year ahead for ladies football, both here in Kerry and of course around the country, with the new rules set to be introduced as well to ladies football. So we might give a end of year slash look ahead to 2026. We'll also be talking to somebody from the Cremorne setup as well on their defeat. And keeping in the theme of ladies football, we'll also be chatting to Kerry ladies football manager Mark Burke to give his review of the year as well. It is that time of year where we do tend to look back a good bit at the year that was. We'll also be looking to Kerry FC, of course, and a good few summer or winter signings, if you want to call it that, the longer transfer window ahead of a new season for our League of Ireland side. Our resident Kerry FC man Dermot Kearney will be chatting to us about that, and of course new kits as well launched on Friday, and good reactions to them across the social media channels and everything else. So we'll be chatting to Dermot all things Kerry FC. There's a new LGFA book launched, the 2025 yearbook. John Fallon from County Galway will be joining us on the phone. He wrote that book detailing everything from women's under 14s right up to the senior football championship. A look back on the year, so a nice one to have over Christmas. We'll also be chatting to Nicole Walker, an MTU athlete who's making waves across athletics worlds with different records broken and everything else. So we'll be talking to her a little later on, and we'll be looking to see how Sam Maguire is going to spend its Christmas while the rest of us might be again enjoying the leftovers, whatever else. Sam Maguire is heading from Killarney to Kinmare the old fashioned way, across the old Kinmare Road, and being carried as well, all in aid of Kerry Mountain Rescue. So we'll be chatting to the organisers there. Again, great to see Sam Maguire pop up in so many different locations across Kerry and beyond, and it's always kind of a nice one to see on social media when the Sam Maguire could be found in a school, a club, anywhere else. So yeah, so still plenty of action going on with Sam Maguire before it has to be handed back to Crow Park, and potentially won back again by the Kingdom next year. As ever, if you have any views or opinions or anything else across the sporting world across the weekend, what were you watching, what were you getting up to in the sport terms, do give us a shout. It's 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp, or you can give the studio a call, 066 712 3666, and we'll be able to read out your views or opinions across the weekend. But it was heartbreak for Kerry's Cremorne as Muckley snatched the All-Ireland title with the last minute winner free kick at the death to win it for the Kilkenny junior side. As I mentioned, Dan Kearney and Breed O'Shea are dynamic commentary duo. They're on the line, but what we'll do first is we'll hear how some of the match played out with Dan and Breda yesterday here on Radio Kerry.
Now, yeah, the Cremorne players, every single one of them, are gathering in the middle of the field. They have a huddle. They're saying to each other, girls,
we have 9 minutes left.
We have 9 minutes to this. We didn't do all that training back in the Cremorne pitch. Hopefully it'll work and we'll get a bit of inspiration here.
Eimear Burke,
she stands over. She puts it over the bar. A lovely point from Eimear Burke. That's a 4-point game.
It's a 4-point game.
And we have 3.5 minutes left. So if Cremorne can win this kick out, work it in, maybe get a goal. Who knows? We'll wait and see. So Leona O'Sullivan passed it on to Saoirse Harkin. Harkin has played quite well coming forward. There's that girl, Maggie Quirk, that live wire 16-year-old who came on as a sub. On to Roisin Smith. It's on to Roisin Griffin. She's a shot at goal. It's a goal for Roisin Griffin. What a move from Cremorne. It went through the hands. Griffin came through the centre. She took a step. She put it low. She put it hard into the back of the net. We've a 1-point game here in Parnell Park.
We need possession.
There's a breaking ball in the middle of the field, and it's Clifford that gets it, and it's after Roisin Griffin. She plays it inside, and it's half again to Clifford. Is that Maggie Clifford who puts it over the bar? The substitute, Maggie Clifford, puts it over the bar, and we've a little game.
We've 2 minutes left.
We've 2 minutes left. No, Roisin Smith. Back to Saoirse Harkin. Saoirse Harkin, where's what? She's by the side. Oh, lucky she turns it over. It's working either attack now. Stop the ball there, come on. We need, there's only what? 35 seconds left in this game.
Guys,
we've got
on.
To see it out.
As
Del Coonan drives forward for Muckley onto Laura Green. Laura Green, who got that goal the first time. Laura Green, she's going at it. Don't follow her. She's driving at the and it's onto that girl, Katie Nolan. Katie Nolan in the corner. Back to Coonan.
16 seconds
back to Coonan. Coonan's driving. She's looking for the free.
No,
there's no free there. It should be a free out of it. She dived.
What are we doing?
She's giving a free in. Oh my goodness me. Oh my goodness me. There's a free in. For Muckley, it's 14 metres out. It's about
the buzzer's gonna go,
10
but it's regardless.
To
the free is
the
be
left
taken.
Of the goal. Katie Nolan with the free kick. She pops it over the bar. And the buzzer goes. And it is Muckley.
Unfortunately, usually when we hear those commentaries back, it's usually we're celebrating a win. Dan, I'm surprised you even have a voice left to talk to us this evening, but heartbreaking scenes at the very end, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and I suppose I must apologise there to Mary Ellen MacDonald. It was actually Mary Ellen that got the equalising score there for Cremann, and the excitement was so high, and you know, it was heartbreaking because they fought back from a game that looked done and dusted. It looked like Muckley were you know, that they had it in the bag, and you know, this Cremann team, they're full of courage, and they kept at it, and you know, they got their rewards, but then, you know, Lady Luck just deserted them right at the finish. Cremann had possession of the ball, you know, they were playing it around, they probably took a risky enough pass, Muckley broke, you know, if Cremann, like, this is a very young Cremann team, that's, you know, very young. Mm-hmm. I was looking at it there today, I was looking at their age profile, let's say down through the middle, Orla Buck, full-back, 19 years of age, Orla Dunphy, 23 years of age, centre-back, their midfield, Leona O'Sullivan, 18 years of age, Roisin Smith, 20 years of age, Mary-Kate Smith, centre-forward, 18 years of age, Ian O'Brien, 22 years of age. You contrast that with Muckley, full-back, Idel Coonan, 28 years of age, Clodagh Hanlon, the centre-back, 24 years of age, their midfield, Kelly Comerford, 30, Laura Green, 28, Ellen Lawler, centre-forward, 21, and Edwina Keane, 35. That is bags of experience. Now, if Muckley were in the situation Cremann were in and had turned over the ball, there is no doubt that with that kind of experience in their side, they would have stopped the ball dead straight away. And one of them possibly might have gone down with a head injury as well. The game would have to be stopped. It would get bodies back and, you know, the danger would be cleared. But that's the lessons you learn when you're a young team like Cremann. But by God, Ivan, they battled to the end and they did their club proud, and they did Kerry proud as representatives of Kerry.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm also joined by Breda O'Shea. Breda, Cremann definitely did Kerry proud. Muckley did Kilkenny proud. I'm not sure who exactly you were shouting for yesterday. We'll say Cremann, but look, again, just kind of a disappointing way to lose a final, isn't it?
It is indeed, and a bit like yourself, Ivan.
Yeah, exactly.
You going yesterday, okay? but no, look, Cremann can hold their head up high. I do believe, like, if they went back and sat in that room that they sat in January and discussed what they were facing for the year, the thoughts of getting to an All-Ireland final were far from where they were aspiring to be. It was a county championship first, and even talking to any of the management and even Maureen Duffy, the captain, last week, it was that they were taking each game as it came and see what they could get out of the year and see, because they did realise they had a young panel. I think they had something like, is it 6 or 7 doing their leaving cert this year? So it's really a credit to them what they did achieve. And like, if they go back even to the county final at half time, we were saying that it was Ballymacgillicuddy that were going to win the county final. And even after that game, it was, oh my God, if we got to win a Munster, it would be amazing. So they hold their heads up high. I know that's very easy for us to say on the sideline and that they are hurting, but that hurt drives you on. And it makes you go on that bit further. And next year, I know they're facing into the Intermediate Championship. It is tough in Kerry. It's a tough championship, full stop, the Intermediate one, and then it'll be on to Senior. But even at that, for them to get to an All-Ireland final, it's when they look back on that in 20 years' time, they'll be extremely proud of themselves.
Yeah. Dan, you know, to claw back the 5 points, it looked like the game was done and gone, and for a lot of it, it was. And to be fair, Muckley kind of held that lead lead, you know, throughout. And then, you know, to come back from 5 points down with, I think it was 4 or 5 minutes left in the clock to get it back even level. Like, it was a huge achievement, and kind of, we've kind of said this about Cremona over the last couple of weeks, that kind of never say die attitude, that they'll keep plugging away no matter what. And it was shown right up to the end of the final.
Yeah, it was shown right up to the end of the game, and I suppose that's the togetherness, that they're a very, very happy bunch. They're a bunch, a lot of them have played underage together, and they've grown up together, and that brings a kind of a solidity and resilience to the side. And they've come through a few tough battles through this year. I mean, Breed alluded there to the Ballymac game, you know, where they came back from. They were down a good bit at half time, and they came back in the second half, an absolutely outstanding second half. They were down in Doheny, as I was covering that game, as you know, and they went to the free kick shootout, and you know, they had their homework done there. They were down a good part of that game, and you know, they were away from home down in Ballyvourney, kept at it up to Kevin Gales. You know, they had an easy enough Munster final, but then they went up to Kevin Gales again. You're in the, I suppose, the Lions then, as PJ referred to it, and you know, it was a real, and they came through that, a real tough game. And again, you know, dead and buried yesterday, down 5 points, and you know, they believed in themselves, and you know, they didn't play their best. They were up against a really, really good physical, strong and fit side, but their conditioning all year, and Chris O'Sullivan, their strength and conditioning coach, he must be lauded for the job he's done with them. They stuck at it, and you know, they showed a bit of quality there in the finish, and helped no doubt by a couple of very astute substitutions that really worked. And you know, they were just unlucky that it finished the way it is, and that sport. But look, in terms of character and going forward, and look, what I'd be saying now, it's going to take them a long time to get over the hurt of it. I know I've been hurt. I've lost big games myself, and it takes a long, long time. There's no denying it. But when they settle down and when they look at it, they'll maybe look at the Intermediate Championship next year and try and keep this group together. They should be able to keep a good share of them together. Some of them might immigrate. There might be school things going on. There might be college things going on. Some of them might have worked it. But if they can keep the majority of this panel together, there's no doubt about it. But this Cremant side can go on and give the Intermediate Championship and Kerry a good rattle next year.
Yeah, definitely will give it a good rattle, I think, Dan. Breda, I suppose, you know, just looking at the scores, you're looking at kind of Roisin Griffin, an absolute crucial player for Cremant. 2-3 yesterday. I know it was a penalty and two frees, but you know, in an All-Ireland final, you want, you know, your best players performing, and 2-3 was a great return from Roisin.
Yeah, definitely. And even at that, it was the two forwards that Dan just spoke, the two subs that Dan just spoke about, they added 2 points when they came on as well. So it just freshened up that full forward line for Cremant when they were introduced. But I suppose as well, it's Muckalee had their homework done well, and they were using a sweeper system right in front of Emer Burke. And she would have been maybe one of the main targets to get a ball in quick to. So that avenue didn't work for Cremant yesterday. And when they changed it up, and especially there in the second half, and Roisin Griffin actually came out, she was more positioned in a wing forward position. And then she started actually running at them. So that's when Cremant actually started winning a few frees. And then even later on, that she got that chance for to take for the goal. Whereas in the first half, Muckalee were stopping the ball at source. They weren't letting it get into that full forward line at all. And that, like, yes, that is experience, that is tactics. It might be timed at times, thought to be a bit cynical, but on the other side of things, and like Dan alluded to it when he was going through the age profile of Muckalee, they were 5 years trying to get out of Leinster. So they are battle worried, and it's a bit like that when that ball was overturned and it was got into the hands of Katie Nolan, she knew exactly what to do. She was going down on the ground in front of Cremant players and put the decision in the ref's hands. Yet the ref made the decision, gave her the free. Another day, the ref might decide to give a free out, and we would have ended up in a replay. And I know Muckalee definitely didn't want that to happen, because their full back was flying out to Australia on Tuesday morning, I was told, after the game. So they didn't want a replay. I know we spoke about extra time, but it was put down for a replay for next Sunday. Mm-hmm. So they did not want it happening to that. So Katie Nolan knew that when she got the ball into her hands with 10 seconds to go. Was that inexperience on the other side when Cremant, look, we'd all try it. I could see what the girl was trying to do, to give a pass out across. unfortunately it was intercepted, but instead of maybe running at the defence and seeing if Cremorne could win a free, Cremorne tried to play the ball. And is that naivety? I don't know. That's the Kerry way. It's to play the ball, not look for a free. But look, you learn as you go along. And as Dan alluded to, this experience will stand to them. And if they can keep the core group there together, and even as I said at the end of the game yesterday, it's also what it has done for the 10-year-old or the 12-year-old that's out in Cremorne or Glenbeigh in the last few weeks. They have seen a local girl who they knew, who they can see walking down the street, and she got to play in an All-Ireland final. So that's the hope that it builds, that it keeps the underage structure going, and it breeds in a few more players that they can then push on into the intermediate championship when they get over the last of this All-Ireland final. And I suppose another thing that probably should be spoken about is the fact of, seen as we didn't really talk about it before the game, because look, it was still an All-Ireland final, it was being played in Parnell Park. Seen as the game wasn't being played in Croke Park on Saturday with the other two fixtures, the intermediate and the senior final, I personally can't understand why then it wasn't brought maybe down as far as Thurles. Why did it have to go to Parnell Park? Because you were putting on Cremorne another journey up to Dublin where they had to do an overnight stay, a bit like they had to do 2 weeks beforehand against Cavan. And I do know, having spoke to some of the Muckalee team and stuff like that, they would have had no problem in playing it halfway with the Kerry team.
Yeah,
Parnell Park. They were both put out by being brought to Parnell Park.
Yeah, that is an interesting one, Dan, as well, that you just mentioned. And I think, you know, All-Ireland final day, especially when you see the senior and intermediate getting into Croke Park, obviously they were looking maybe at the pitch, whatever else, at Camogie there on Sunday. But, you know, we've a world-class facility in Croke Park. And, you know, if you look down as far as the intermediate level, I think one more game for junior definitely could have been played in Croke Park. Parnell Park had to pass a late pitch inspection Sunday. There was talk it could have got moved out to even Abbottstown, which isn't a great facility for even supporters given the amount of people going to the ground. It just seemed all a small bit up in the air, and if you ended up playing the game at 11 or 12 o'clock even Saturday morning in Croke Park, I think it would have been appreciated by I think everybody.
Here it was often nonsense, really. Even you know, you're getting an email there, you're travelling up to the game, we got an email that it possibly might be on in is Blanchardstown there,
and Abbottstown, the Sports Ireland campus.
Yeah. And we were kind of going, Jeannie Macker's the other side, the city or whatever, like, you know what? And it's AstroTurf, like it's a 4G facility or 3G or whatever. And you're kind of going, like, these girls are training all along. And the same for Muckalee, same for Cremorne. They're training on heavy pitches this time of the year. And, you know, the legs are kind of suited to that because they're used to it. And then if you have to go on an artificial surface, you're just not used to it. And injuries can happen very quickly. And there's the whole logistics of getting out there and supporters going there not knowing on Sunday morning and all that. Absolute nonsense altogether. Breeders dead right. That game should have been moved early on in the week when it wasn't going to be on in Croke Park. I don't know why it wasn't going to be on in Croke Park. None of us really wanted to talk about that, because the main thing that we wanted to happen was to see Cremorne winning the All-Ireland. It didn't matter where the hell it'd be, like, you know, if it was in Timbuktu. But now, the one thing I will say about Parnell Park is it did add to the atmosphere there, because it was nice and tight and compact, and the atmosphere gets lost in Croke Park, to be fair. But from a purely logistic point of view, and from an expense point of view, and for Cremorne, of course, in particular, it should have been probably brought down the country, like, you know. But there are the decisions. Look, the LGVA made the decision, I suppose, to suit themselves and for their streaming and for where they're based and all that sort of a thing. Like, so there's reasons behind it why they had it up there. And look, it wouldn't matter to Dams now if Cremorne had the cup in the village this evening. But unfortunately, that's just the way it panned out.
Yeah, well, I might just get you to hold the line. We have to go to a quick break there, lads. 083-300-3300 on text or WhatsApp. You can give a call 066-712-3666. We'll be back with more from Cremorne and maybe a look ahead at the 2026 after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, where your support means the world to us. From our family to yours, Nulik Hanayev.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Delighted to be joined on the line now by Cremon manager, that's Anna Maria O'Donoghue. Anna Maria, look, commiserations, I suppose, first and foremost. Look, it's been a great year for you. I know it's probably hard to look at the positives today. It's to be kind of, you know, caught up in all events yesterday. But overall, you know, a fantastic year that just fell short, unfortunately.
Evening, Ivan. Yeah, thanks for having us on. Apologies for the voice. It's a bit hoarse.
I can imagine.
The excitement of yesterday. I suppose, look, we are bitterly disappointed after yesterday. If you look at how we came back in the second half and how we rallied and came so close, we were only seconds away from maybe forcing a replay. Or because we had momentum at the time, I really did feel like that there was another score on us and finishing the game off. And then I suppose to so cruelly be penalised with 3 seconds to go. It's just a really hard way to take it. But, you know, we've met today as a group and enjoyed the first company, and we've talked about the year. And, like, so it was said to me last night that if you had at half time the county final, if somebody said to you, you'd be a point down at the end of an All Ireland final, would you have taken it at half time the county final? And of course, you would. The opportunity to go and play and represent your county and your province and the biggest stage was a big one for us yesterday. And while we are disappointed, we are very, very, very proud of the players and the effort they put in this year.
Yeah, I presume at the start of the year, you know, you kind of meet and you say, what are the goals, and potentially winning the county final is probably the end goal. So kind of getting to play the week before Christmas in an All-Ireland final, I don't imagine that's in a lot of people's plans for the year, but as kind of things go on, you go through Munster and win that, and then up to semi-final in Cavan, you know, you probably look back in the year with a lot of pride in the end and kind of building it going into the intermediate campaign next year as well.
Oh, definitely. I'm talking there to Dan after yesterday, and it's getting a bit emotional when he asked about the group. And you couldn't both be proud from every player on our panel, those that are injured that have done Mary Schiller for us during the year, you know, down to Flora there looking after the jerseys and Smith looking after the group and our management team. You couldn't but be proud of them, and you'd be so overwhelmed by the year that we've had. And when we did meet last year, like we said, it was the 29th of November 2024, and we laid out our plan for 2025 possibly, and we just said, you know, I think a big thing with the group was to get out of Junior A, because we had been trying for a number of years. We'd come close in 2 county finals, as we said already, like we lost the semi-final last year by a point, and so I suppose that was our big target. And then as every team that's been, when you win, you get on that roll of momentum and you want to keep going. And then I suppose once we beat Ballymac, and the adventure just got so much bigger. And when we went down to Dunmanway and that epic battle with Dohanies, which I think personally was, you know, the turning point of our season. I know coming back against Ballymac was huge, but the Dohanies game was a real, real test of character. But it went to not only extra time, because we had never led in that game until I think we won that in extra time, and then to go to free kicks and sudden death. And then you're into Munster final all of a sudden. The next, you know, it's the journey has just taken. It's gone from like second gear to third gear all of a sudden, and then you're heading up to Cavan, which was obviously was out of our control, because that's a fixture by the LGFA. But the community rallied in behind us so much. God Almighty, we did a sponsor player thing that sold out in 24 hours, and just the whole thing has just snowballed into, I suppose, the best year that the club has had in its history, and we are extremely proud of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and talk to you about that support. I mean, you've had the local companies come in. We've heard that in the build up to the game, but the support there yesterday. You know, I was at home watching it on the stream, and the amount of maroon flags and the jerseys and everything else, and the cheers when the ball was going over the bar. It was a huge kind of, I suppose, Cremon area sort of a support there with Glenbey and Glencairn involved as well. It was great to see, you know, that support for an All Ireland final, and I'm sure that support will, you know, follow you again next year in your journey.
Definitely, yeah, because I say when we came back last night, we went down to Jack's, one of our sponsors, Jack's Postcard, and come on, and there was a bonfire on the road down for us, and it was mixed emotions on the bus, because a lot of people were delighted to see it, and a lot of people were a little bit disappointed that we weren't coming down the road with the cup, and we were so close to it, and we kind of felt like we'd let people down that had supported us. But then we got off the bus, and there were 60 or 70 people there standing with flags and clapping at us, and this was at 11:30 at night, and they had come just to meet us, and a lot of them got into their cars and went home again. So that was overwhelming. And then today we went over to another one of our sponsors, Edward Ray Fox, and they just guard of honour for us when we were leaving and stuff, like, and it has been overwhelming. And the numbers that have started following the girls, like, since the first round of the championship, I'd say we were blowing in Kinmare playing ISG, there's probably just like 20 people there, and then you're up in Parnell Park yesterday and it's hundreds of people, and there's people there that you'd never associate with football that just wanted to be part of the journey and part of the excitement. And it was great to have them there yesterday at Sportsman. Yeah, it's been brilliant. While we are very disappointed, it has been a brilliant year, and we can't lose sight of what we've done and where we've come from and where we are now.
Yeah, and you know, for a club as a whole, Anna Maria, you know, you're kind of looking at, you're kind of saying, you know, the youngsters coming through, those who got to see the game, even for the young girls that were playing yesterday, there's so many kind of, you know, still in school at that age. So that experience is going to drive everybody on, from the supporters to the players and to everyone involved with the club, that, it, you know, it is only positive. And again, it's so hard to kind of say that after, you know, a 1-point defeat in the All-Ireland final. But for the future of ladies football in that kind of mid-Kerry area, this is massive, and this will only be good going forward as well.
Definitely, yeah, because if you look at Mid-Kerry, there is what, four or five ladies clubs, and the membership has gone through the roof with the success of Kerry ladies up in the last number of years. And it's well known that our team is very young, 9 leaving certs on the field, you know, some are only 17, and you're playing up against physically stronger women from Kilkenny. You know, they were very tuned into what they were doing, though. They were clever, I suppose, at times. They were probably just a little bit more clever than us when it came to breaking our momentum. But these are things that, as young players, and like our captain's only 22. You know, when we're looking going forward next year, you know, you'd be thinking, okay, let's try and learn from the mistakes of the final, or things that we could have and should have controlled ourselves that we didn't. You know, you have to take those learnings. I know everybody says like you have to lose some to win one, but you just have to learn. You have to learn every time you play. You have to learn something new.
Absolutely. Look, Anna Marie, thanks very much for taking the time out of your end of year sort of, I wouldn't say celebrations, but your bit of downtime at the end of the year. I'm sure we'll hope to be back talking to you again as you bid to do one better in the Intermediate Championship next year. But for the Christmas and everything else, hopefully the players have some well deserved rest now and everything else, and you can look ahead to next year fondly come January and February.
Yep, we'll, and thanks very much for all the support you've gotten from Ada Kerry there. It's been brilliant, like with Joe there ringing and Dan doing interviews and stuff, and yourselves highlighting us in Terrace Talk. It's given a lot of a limelight to a small club in Kerry, and we're very grateful, and we just want to wish everybody happy Christmas.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Thanks very much, Anna Marie there, the Cremorne manager. Frida, I suppose, look, you know, you're kind of, for every, I suppose, loser there has to be a winner is probably the phrase put backwards, but what I'm trying to get to is kind of Muckley, and look, we've been talking about, you know, the fact it's going to be a Kerry team up against a Kilkenny football team, you know, which is relatively unheard of. But for Muckley to get over that line, you thought they were in 5, you know, Leinster Championships, I think it was 4 finals, 1 semi-final. I couldn't get through it, and eventually came through and have gone on and won the All-Ireland. And as much as we talk maybe about hurling and Kerry, you know, football in Kilkenny is the lesser of two evils with the Gaelic games. So you know, you're kind of looking at, you're kind of saying, you know, from a Kilkenny football perspective, this can only be good for that bunch of girls, maybe for more ladies in the county up there as well, and even maybe into the men's sport, that you can see a Kilkenny club can win a football out there. And you have to look at that and kind of, you know, commend them for what they've done here as well, and what that'll do for the sport up in Kilkenny.
Oh, it's immense. There's no question about that. Like, and the fact of the matter is, like, I think that they only kind of went senior, maybe, I think, was it back in 2018, 2019, and that they went into the senior championship because they had a good under-14 and under-16 structure coming through. And, like, yes, of course, there is Kerry blood up there. We had a cornerback that our father and mother are both from Kerry. So there is a Kerry connection there still. But even apart from that, it is the thing of even talking to some of the Muckley supporters. I was talking to Nicky Brennan, he does the commentary for the local community radio up there, and he said the fact of the matter was that this game overtook the airwaves in Kilkenny for the past 2 weeks, and that it was being talked ahead of club hurling games, and that's unheard of above in Kilkenny. That it's a bit like down here with football comes first. In Kilkenny, hurling comes first. So for those girls to have that belief in themselves and to keep coming back, and yet to, like, we tried to explain it yesterday in commentary, yes, they did win their senior championship, so they dropped down to junior because of the standard of football coming from Kilkenny, but they've put in a genuine effort. They go up and play in the Leash Scottish League to get those extra games and to get that extra savvy. And like, it was interesting listening to Anne-Marie, I don't know who there, the what she's describing about the youth of Cremon and where they can go from now. Like, this Muckalee team have been doing this for the past 5 years to get that experience, to get that knowledge. Yes, they have the likes of Katie Nolan. She's an all-star Camogie player. She had that bit of experience and savviness to go down for that free and at the end of the game. Then there was also Edwina Keane, the full forward. She was an all-star from a couple of years ago as well. So they had depth and strength, and plus on top of that, and it happens here in this county too on the hurling side, the neighbouring club is O'Loughlin Gaels, which would be closer into the city. Mm-hmm. So I think they had three girls coming from O'Loughlin Gaels because they had no football there.
Yeah,
so they were giving the commitment. Yeah, so they were giving the commitment of coming and joining the neighbouring club to play football. So for them alone to do that, it shows immense pride in what they wanted to do. They wanted to show that Kilkenny could play football and to stick at it as long as they have. They will have to now, if they do go again next year and win their own senior championship, they'll have to head into the intermediate championship, which they will find extremely difficult in Leinster because the standard will just up that tiny bit more.
Yeah.
But for them, for what they've done for girls, a bit like what I've just said about for younger girls in Cremon, for other girls above in Kilkenny, they can see that, oh, okay, hang on, we can play football here. That there is an avenue, it's not all just about the small ball and the stick, that we can try our hand at football. And look, that's good for the sport in general, that you're bringing in more people, you're bringing in different counties into the mix and stuff like that. So it can only aid the game in the long term. And like for Muckalee themselves, they're a bit like Cremon in the fact of their rural area with three areas coming together under the one parish. And like on the other side of things, it was 40 years ago since they won the Club All-Ireland and the men's in 1985. So sometimes things happen for a reason and you just get that rub of the green, and maybe it was a thing of that maybe their name was kind of half written on the cup before the game, the way things were aligning for them, that it was 40 years ago since the men's club St. Martin's won the All-Ireland Club Championship.
Yeah.
The only time they ever made the county final, I think, they actually did a clean run of it and they haven't been back since. So things happen for a reason, and I'm sure that Cremon team will, as time goes on, will build and get more strength and depth and come back. And like we never alluded to there earlier on, they did lose their centre half back about 10 minutes into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Orla Dunphy, she's a mega player for them, and straight down the centre. And I think it was shortly after she went that actually Muckalee actually got their goal from Laura Green. So that just shows you things can just change in a game and they go against you. But Cremon did not give up. They came back and they fought, and they fought to the end.
Well, my uncle is an O'Loughlin Gaels man, and he wisely told me before that there's great footballers in Kilkenny, they just don't want to play it. That's what he was saying. That was his sum up of.
These girls have been brave enough to put their head above the parapet.
Yeah, 100%, and most definitely, and it might inspire the next generation, if not men, even ladies in Kilkenny as well. Lads, at that, we have to take a quick break. We'd be delighted to be joined after the break by our Kerry ladies football manager, Mark Burke. We look back on the year and maybe ask him as well his interpretation of what the new rules will look like in ladies football in the league. We have to take a break here on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, where your support means the world to us. From our family to yours, Nulik Hanayev.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Delighted to be joined now by the Kerry ladies football manager, that is Mark Burke. Mark, you're welcome to Terrace Talk. Thanks very much for taking the time out. I was kind of busy now heading into Christmas and everything else, so I appreciate you taking the time out. First and foremost, Mark, I suppose I just want to ask you about Cremon. Look, obviously, disappointment in the end, just a 1-point defeat, but hugely proud, I would imagine, of our junior club going so far, and plenty of maybe girls putting their hands up for an all-trial run, maybe.
Hi, Ivan, how are you? Look, it's devastating to lose by a point at the end, but look, you know, when they look back in a few weeks' time, maybe, you know, they can be very proud of the journey they took there and, you know, the performance they put in. You know, 5 points down in 5 minutes with 5 minutes to go is not an easy thing to bring back. And, you know, the effort it took to get that 5-point adjustment back to level terms just took the bit out of them at the very, very, very end. And, you know, massive credit to everyone there involved in Cremorne, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose just from yourselves, Mark, it was obviously your first year in the tenure. How did you find it overall yourself, kind of from a personal level? Did you enjoy your first year in charge of the Kerry Ladies? Were you maybe obviously a small bit disappointed to go out at the semi-final stage, but to win Munster and to win the league as well, you started off the tenure fairly well?
Yeah, very enjoyable. Absolutely pleasure to work with this group and with the county board and all the sponsors and everything like that. You know, you win the National League and you win the Munster, and you obviously want to win everything as you go. And you know, but there's other teams there as well that are of you know, elite caliber as well as ourselves. So, you know, it's just a very difficult competition to win. And fair dues to Dublin, they came good when it needed to. And you know, I think we can all take a bit of a learning out of that.
Yeah. I'm going to bring you back to the start of the year, Mark, I suppose, and into that league and winning Division 1. You know, it's only the Kerry have only won it 13 times, so you know it's a good one to win, obviously, to start off the year in such fashion, beating, you know, a strong Armagh team in the final as well. It was a great way for you, I suppose, to start your tenure with kind of, you know, what was kind of a new bunch of girls. It was a good kind of turnaround and different names we weren't kind of used to the start of the year, so to kind of, you know, land in and to win Division 1, a great way to start off the season for you, nice and early in the year as well.
Yeah, look, we were focused on the league, to be fair, and I did say it at the time that we were, you know, it was a new management team. It was a new batch of players. You know, a dozen had left at that stage from the All-Ireland win in 2024. So it was very important for us to put our best foot forward for the National League. And, you know, the response from the players and from the county board was phenomenal. And, you know, things have to go right as well on the day, and things have to go right getting into it. You know, so we were lucky enough that we got 5 wins on the run. And so, look, that was a great foundation for the year, for the first year in. But, you know, at this level, players, you know, they demand more, you know. So, you know, it was a great last year, was outstanding, but this is a new year now.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, when you look at the league, is it one that you kind of, you know, you definitely target, you know, when you came in, obviously, you know, when you come in first, kind of hard to get in and get to know the players and everything else, but, you know, even going into 2026 now, is that kind of league win kind of up there in the goals for the year to start off the year as best as possible, or do you kind of use the league maybe to, you know, try out a couple of new players and see what they're like in different positions?
No, yeah, look, the... Yeah, it was a baptism of fire last year against Armagh, first game in the league in January there, 2025, Nostax Park, 5 points up, cruising, and we lose by 4 points, 3 sucker punch goals. Mm-hmm. And so that was a welcome to inter-county football, so that was great to see. Good learnings from that. But no, I mean, this year is definitely about being competitive again, as always, and retain Division 1 status in the National League after that. It's a bonus. It's a bonus if we can get as far as we can with it. But yes, the focus will, as it was last year, is players putting their hands up will get game time. But you know, so you know, it's very difficult for new players coming in to adjust on the first year. You know, I mean, I think only 1 or 2, 3 maybe put their hands up last year. So look, we would be hoping that players that they came in last year and the new players come in, we might get 2 or 3 more that'll put their hands up this year, yeah.
And then you went on to win Munster as well, which was great. There was huge expectations, I suppose, being pushed on into the All-Irelands, but obviously after coming out of the league to win Munster, always important for a Kerry team to do well in a Munster Championship, and to go on to win it against a very tough Waterford team was a nice way to win that one as well.
Yeah, look, Munster is, I'd say, it's the most competitive province of the 4 provinces. So really, definitely, you know, you have Waterford, you know, Cork, Division 1 team now, Waterford Division 1, Tipperary Division 2, will never give you an easy game. And, you know, it was important for us to keep the level of the standard high, you know, no matter what game we were playing throughout. And you know, it was very close in the Munster final with Waterford. You know, they were really gunning for it. It was their All-Ireland, really, I think. And, you know, we we kept at it for 60 minutes, and it was, I think, the 58th minute that we got the goal to take the lead and to hold on to it. So, you know, these Munster finals, any final is not easy to win at this level, you know, at inter-county level, you know.
Yeah, and then I suppose the group stage went your way. You got the home quarter-final, which is always massive, and beat Kildare quite convinced in the end, 10 points and a hat-trick from Sheffield O'Shea. You couldn't have asked for much more to set you up for that semi-final.
Yeah, look, again, we've just brought that momentum from Munster in with Mayo and Cork. You know, there was learnings in those two games. I guess we didn't learn as good as we could have from those two games, even though we won them. So that's a lesson in itself going into this year. Even if you win a game, you know, there should be a lot of learnings in that as well. But the Kildare game, yeah, look, we started slow, but we won that game by 10 points, and then we set ourselves up for an All-Ireland semi-final against Meath, yeah.
Just talk to me some more about that semi-final. Obviously, any loss is kind of probably easier to go back and look at to maybe where it went wrong. But I remember a lot of the talk around that time, Mark, was that kind of a lot of people questioned fitness maybe amongst the squad, and was the S&C right to the kind of the last maybe 15 or 20 minutes of that game that Meath just looked kind of the fitter side. You know, now that you've had kind of maybe time to look back in it, is it something you might, do you need to hold people in reserve maybe until the latter stages of the championship? Where do you think it went wrong that day for you?
No, I know it's nothing to do with fitness. I mean, any team that has a momentum, especially in the ladies' game, I've noticed in this year or last year, if a team gets a run on you, they actually look fitter. And I guess our heads dropped a small bit, but I did think that the physicality of Meath was a telling factor. I thought our mindset wasn't right going into that game. But again, the girl, you know, the players absolutely put their best effort into that game, and he actually led, you know, 10 minutes into the second half.
Yeah.
But Meath were ravenous. I think Kerry had beaten them in the last two previous All Ireland quarterfinals to knock them out of the competition. And I guess when you have that hunger, you know, that they, you know, they brought that extra edge to it. Gamesmanship, I will call it. And you know, we had competed in the last three All-Ireland finals, so you know, there might have been a small bit of complacency there, maybe possibly, you know, on the back subconsciously, but you know, that's gone now. So you know, you will find that for teams that are on top for a long, you know, for a couple of years. So you know, it wasn't nothing to do with fitness. It was to do with physicality and mindset, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that's a fair enough review. And again, it's something to definitely look at going into the new year. I suppose just kind of coming in, Mark, it is tough after, you know, if the, it was obviously joint managers up till this year, but with the lads stepping away after winning in All-Ireland, it does add that kind of increased pressure, I suppose, on a man coming in, you know, taking over the job. And again, to win Division 1 and to win Munster and like that, to be beaten that semi-final. You know, how would you kind of find it throughout the year? Like, do you learn a lot about the group, kind of what you're looking ahead to next year? What have you learned from the group that you maybe can bring into next year after your first year in charge?
Yeah, look, there was still a hangover, I think, from that All-Ireland win in 2024, to be fair to you, to be fair to the whole setup, you know. So we've cleaned it up a small bit. We've got some new management team in, and so it's a lot sharper this year. Some new players in, a lot sharper there. Obviously, you're going to have that exodus of some players from the previous year. So, you know, with that in mind, with a new tweaking things that we did well last year, and adding to things maybe that we could have improved on last year that we didn't really have an idea of, because it was our first year in there. You know, I think we might be, you know, try and put a better proposal together this year for the panel to execute better in some of the games. Yeah.
Yeah, and tell me, so obviously the new rules coming in now as well, it's going to be a somewhat of a different game in 2026. Obviously, it's only on a trial basis throughout the league, but I presume you've looked at them in detail already, and maybe where Kerry can exploit other teams on them.
Yeah, look, I was manager of the St. Brendan's team this year, and you know, we got exposed to a few of those games. So I got exposed to a few of those games in the county championship this year. So it is a very fast flowing game. It's just I remember last year when Kerry were playing, the men's Kerry were playing last year, you know, there was breaches, there was whistles being blown, 50 yard frees. I remember being in this crowd and no one knew what the frees were for. I expect nothing less than pure chaos in these first few games, in these first three games of the National League this year, between referees, players, management, scratching heads, wondering what the hell is going on. So it's going to be a learning curve for everyone. But when it'll settle down after a few games, I believe. But I definitely think it's definitely the way to go.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's probably going to be my final question, Mark. Do you think the ladies' game needed that refresh as well?
Yeah, I mean, look, we played Meath last year in an All-Ireland semi-final, and the gamesmanship by the opposition was, you know, these new set of rules will absolutely quell any kind of consistent gamesmanship, we'll say, up the field, and it will bring pure football. I think it'll bring pure football to the pure, and you could see Kerry won the All-Ireland this year with these set of rules. And you know, if you have natural footballers and natural forwards, you know, you could do a lot better than some of the things that we see with 15 behind the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Mark, a pleasure chatting to you as always. Unfortunately, we're completely out of time. Best of luck with your continued preparations for the new campaign, and I'm sure we might be able to touch base again during the season.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
That's a pleasure. Mark Burke, Kerry manager. We're out of time. We're heading for news at 7 o'clock.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, where your support means the world to us. From our family to yours, Nulik Hanayev.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hardy with you until 8 o'clock this evening. And we'll be moving on in just a second. I've just one message to get to you first, if my screen will load. Ivan, great to see three Tralee clubs, it's harder to say than what you think, represented at the Munster Council Awards in Killarney on Saturday night. The Minor Award going to Grode White from John Mitchell's, Under 20 Award going to Kearns O'Rahilly's Tomás Kennedy, and Senior Award went to Austin Sachs' Joe O'Connor. Lots of super talent coming through the ranks in the Kingdom. And yeah, thanks very much for that. It looked like a lovely night in Killarney on Saturday night at those Munster GAA Awards. Yeah, and it's great to see three different Tralee clubs being represented as well. Time now to swap over to the soccer scene, of course, in the Kingdom. And despite it being sort of the middle of the off-season, Dear McCarty, it's still quite busy in soccer terms. It's not sort of your GAA when things kind of die down for a couple of weeks, it's gone. Kerry FC have been fairly busy over the last number of weeks, and be looking forward to a game in just a couple of weeks' time now in the Munster Senior Cup as well. So plenty going on in the off-season.
There is, Ivan, there is. I suppose we've had players re-sign contracts, we've had players depart, we've had new players come in, new kits launched as well, and a look ahead to January, Munster Senior Cup and a new League of Ireland season, a fourth season now for Kerry FC.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, kind of bringing it back, we were just chatting off air, I think it was around the time of the Shamrock Rovers game that we last spoke. So I suppose it's from kind of a senior point of view, obviously it was disappointment that day, but overall 33 points, some might say 36 points, in the league campaign, finished ninth, so their best league finish as well to date. Plenty of positives to take out of Colin Healy's first year in charge of Kerry before they go into next season as well.
There is. I know you alluded to there, of course, it should be 36. And I know that Sportsfile have chosen a photo from that a famous Finn Harps game as one of their photos of the season, the game that never happened, but it did happen. But yeah, I know. Obviously, I suppose last season definitely has been the best season to date. It's shown the continuous growth of the club. You know, 8 wins, 9 if you do count that Finn Harps game. You know, you said 33 points, 36 again, had that counted. And had that game counted, there would only been a sly number of goals in between the goal difference between Kerry and Finn Harps for 8th place. So look, Kerry off the bottom of the table last season, the season we've just had, and an FAI Cup semi-final on television for the first time, and so much growth has come out of it. And you know, with a bit of off-season now and Colin's first proper full season in charge, and we'll have to see if there's a couple of new faces that come into the limelight before Christmas or after it as well, heading into that Munster Senior Cup campaign. But no, fairly positive skies ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you look kind of a club that came into existence in 23. You had 23 or 24 really kind of feeling things out, and then 25 seemed to go that kind of level above, and the crowds and everything else. I suppose players that were kind of there last year that we know are 100% are coming back. You've got Niall Brookwood, of course, the man from Wigan, who was a real star for Kerry this year after coming in from Cork City. He got the Player of the Year award as well at the awards night. The goalkeeper Matt Connor, he's back. Ewan Lee, who made a big step up from the Munster Senior League. You've got Cian Brosnan, Sean O'Connell, Ryan Kelleher, Samuel Adedunusi, Finn Barrett, just to name a good few of them there. Obviously, the big talking point is the one name that I'm missing from all that is Ronan Tehan, of course, who has moved on to Pastures New and taking a stab at the Premier Division. I suppose, A, what kind of a loss will he be to Kerry? And B, how do you kind of fill his position now? It's a tough one to take, Dermot, isn't it?
It is. Look, Ronan was a massive loss. Look, when it came out, and the statement by the club was a great one to say, look, he's made such a great contribution. Like, I remember Ronan's first season. Like, he was a very young lad coming into the team, and you know, it was, you know, a season where they only won one game or bottom of the table with only 10 points, and it was a very steep learning curve. But I thought Ronan was just a really, really good player that season. Really stepped into a first taste of Senior League of Ireland well, in terms of that, and I suppose has only grown into it over the last two seasons, and you know, really became a fan favourite. Was really just, if you were to put number one names in the team sheet, Ronan would be right up there with a couple of other lads to say they're going to be in the team every single week, and he's going to be a massive loss. Like, fair play to him, he's making a step up. He's going to try his hand at a Premier Division football, and Dundalk, you know, will be a great club for him to go to. Of course, he'll be linking up with Leo. Of course, Leo Gaxa, who was with Kerry as well in the past. So we're going to have two Kerry fellas flying the flag for us up in Dundalk in the Premier Division next year. Second to your question about, you know, how do you fill it? Like, I suppose it's a big loss with Ronan. And then you look at Carl Mujaguzi as well, has moved on. And I thought Ronan and Carl were very pivotal players in the midfield last year. I suppose you're going to look at who's going to step in and fill the void. Obviously, the signing of Vincent Borden from Galway, he's going to be a very, very good player in that midfield. We'll see what way the midfield lines up. Look, Colin might have a different formation as well next year. He might try something a little bit new, and we have to see with those players coming in. Maybe in the midfield department, Kerry are a little bit light at the moment, so maybe we'll see a couple of players, if it's not re-signings from the season just gone, or a couple of new faces coming in.
Yeah, and that's the thing, there's a lot of new faces. Just as you mentioned Ronan Tehan, and I suppose just kind of one thing on him is that, you know, he's come through the Kerry FC Academy, obviously with Ivor United as well, of course, in Carrigsaveen, and then moving up into Kerry FC 17s, 19s, as it was, now it's 20s, and up to the senior. So kind of a player kind of nurtured by Kerry, and as you kind of mentioned, the statement was kind of around that, kind of wishing him well, that he'd kind of come true. You know, I think it's often been said, and it's been said by a couple of different people around this, you know, it's kind of technically going to be a small bit of a feeder club. I know you want to keep your best players, and that's kind of the point of football, but you know, to see a player kind of grow in Kerry, you know, it's kind of schoolboys and girls league in the local leagues and up into the KDL and into the Kerry FC kind of setup, it is good that we can kind of see this re-happening now. And probably without Kerry FC, we probably struggle to kind of, you know, be seen on the League of Ireland stage, Dermot. And you kind of look at your kind of, you know, think back to the Dennehys, and you think back to other players that kind of went on and played, you know, Premier Division football, or, you know, even over across channel. You know, they found barriers really hard to break down. But now, kind of since this has all happened, you know, to see, you know, as you mentioned, Leo, who was obviously from Tralee originally, made the move a bit earlier. But even though it's Ronan Tehan now has been developed in Kerry, and you can see that he's going to be going up to that standard, that's really positive, just from, you know, the sports perspective in Kerry as well, that, you know, there is that sort of progression there. And obviously we hope Kerry FC as a club will go up and go on to the Premier Division themselves, but at the moment when that offering isn't there, it's great to see that you can nurture these players in Kerry for Pastures New as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, giving lads the chance to grow and develop is always a great thing, just to give them that level of exposure. And I think a lot of the younger players have definitely, you know, alluded to that when they've been involved, to say, look, it's great to have, you know, League of Ireland football on your doorstep. You go and you develop, you know, if you come through the academy system, or if you're an academy player and you get called up to the senior squad, just to have the levels and the pathways that you can say, you know, I got the chance to play in the League of Ireland, and as well, if you're from the county, to say you represented your own club. Look, there's been so many rumours of players that were with Kerry over the last couple of seasons moving on, and you know, Ronan is another one that's moved on. Obviously everyone that's involved with the club wishes him well, but I suppose the fans are really gutted to lose someone like Ronan, because you're saying, look, he's, when they're one of your own players, you want to keep them, you want to look after them, and you want them to be wearing your jersey at the end of the season, not just, you know, seeing them playing for another club. But no, look, it's great to see players moving on, and you know, we only wish Ronan well. We're, you know, moving up now to Dundalk, and look, you never know. As was said in the statement, look, it's not a goodbye. You know, we'll wish you well, but you know, we'd love to see you come back at some stage. And as you say, it's you know, if Kerry were to go up to the Premier Division and Ronan was interested, definitely, yeah, you could see those players kind of coming back and say, look, we can now play it at this level for our own county as well.
Yeah, and hopefully that's sooner rather than later. But it's great, just from even a Kerry perspective away from the club, that you do have these players now in the county that are able to go on to the, you know, that is the top level of football in the country, unless you're playing for the international team as such, so that someone from Kerry is able to go and play in the highest division. It is great. Talk about new guys in the door. I think it's four in total. So we've Jonas Hacken, of course, who finished second with Cove Ramblers last year in defence. Kian Murphy, Cove's, one of Cove's strikers, coming in. So players that are really used to this league and know what it takes to... Okay, just fell short behind Dundalk, but to be fair, only one or two more wins, Cove would have been right up there. Kerry might have cost them their place with a couple of draws we took off them. Vincent Borden, of course, from Galway, and goalkeeper Harry Halwex from Longford. So a busy off-season for Colin Healy. I think, obviously, when pre-season starts, you probably want to have a lot of your squad nailed down, so we might see a few more in the door. But four new lads in the door, and all seem happy to be around the place.
Yeah, you know, definitely there's a lot of talent having come in for those four signings. Like Jonas has been a very key defender around between the likes of Cove and Cork City over the last couple of years. He's experienced in the Premier, and he's vastly experienced in the First Division as well. So he's going to be a pivotal figure for Colin to play in that defensive role. So maybe with the way that maybe the defence has leaked a couple of goals over the last couple of seasons, you bring in someone like Jonas, who's got a proven track record in the league and everything like that. And you know, Kian Murphy, I know when Kian Murphy was signed, it was like, oh no, here we go, here's a very good striker, what's going to happen to poor old Ryan? Oh, and then Ryan, of course, announced then that Ryan had signed the new contract. So whether Kian starts or Ryan starts, I think you've two very, very good strikers, and equally can learn off the other. Like Kian is, you know, Kian is more experienced, I think, than Ryan in terms of playing at this league for the last couple of years, has scored countless goals for Cove as well, as and just been in that system, been, you know, a proven track player for the League of Ireland clubs as well. So he's going to be a very good talent for Kerry to have. I mentioned Vince Borden in the midfield. You know what way the system is going to work, but Vince, again, vastly experienced player with Galway, has come down and played in Mount Hog Park. And then Harry Halwax, who's coming in from Longford. You know, Matt Connor signed a new contract as well. Matt's a fantastic keeper, came in last year, thought he handled himself very well, unfortunate with the injury, but then I thought Darragh Foley really stepped up as well. So you know, Harry's going to want to come in, he's going to want to try and nail down that number one jersey. So I think, you know, in the areas there's a lot of cover, there's a lot of depth, and there's a lot of strength, only in four signings as well. So we'll just have to see what's going to follow suit.
Yeah, what else? Who else comes in the door? One man you mentioned is, of course, the Clarity man, Ryan Kelleher. You know, I think a lot of Kerry fans thought the season was done and dusted that night in UCD when he went off and it was announced he'd the ACL and he had to go for his surgery. It was a tough one to take and a big player to lose. I think he's expected back kind of around maybe April time again. It's usually kind of the 12 months with the ACL. So obviously you'd have potentially Kian Murphy maybe starting the first couple of games, and then being able to bring Ryan back in probably steadily is hugely important. And you want, you know, Ryan to come back fit, fighting and like that, scoring goals, we know Ryan's well used to doing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, look, when you have the likes of Luke Doolan and Luke Palmer as well, that could come into a setup off the bench as the young lads as well. Like, there's loads of talent there for goals in the Kerry department. But look, hopefully, you know, Kian settles in, gets himself used to putting the ball into the back of the net for sure, and all that kind of stuff. But like, it'll be great to see Ryan come back. I know it was fairly tough and gut wrenching when he got those injuries last year, just with how I suppose, pivotal Ryan was, not only in season one but in season two as well. The goals and the memories that he's brought to the club in the last couple of seasons. He was such a big loss last year, but I thought, you know, lads came in, they put on the boots well and they stepped up to the plate, and Keane's going to be no stranger to it if he's tasked with leading the line in that game in the Munster Senior Cup in early January, whenever we get the fixture details on that, whether it's him or whether it's someone else that's leading the line. You know, they're going to want to step in. You know, everyone's going to be fighting for a jersey, and when Ryan comes back, it'll be no doubt that he'll have to do the same.
Yeah, and Sean McGrath, of course, another man who had signed a 2-year deal, club captain, back again for next year as well. I suppose, Dermot, a new season always hurls in new kits as well, as sort of the day and age. We were looking at the Kerry GA kit here a couple of weeks ago and we gave our views on it. What have you made of Kerry FC's new, the home and away kit came out on Friday?
Yeah, I think they're two lovely kits, and I know everyone wants to get the new ones kind of out around the Christmas. So great to see that they're going to be stocking fillers or presents under the tree for people. I know Sean was only delighted with the kit and with how nice it was on the club TikTok page as well. So you know it's a nice thing to have as well for Christmas for supporters. And no doubt, look, people are going to be looking forward to them wearing the home kit in Mount Hawk Park and the away one up and down the island of Ireland next season, and hopefully those kits bring as many memories as the three previous ones that the lads have worn.
Yeah, a bit of success maybe would be a lovely one. You're always waiting for the first ones they have when they win their first trophy, be it whichever one comes first. I suppose to look back again, Dermot, on 2025 before we start to finish up, I suppose there's probably no point in me asking the highlight. I'm sure the Sligo Rovers game in Mount Hall Park is everybody's highlight, but was there anything else that maybe stood out to you, or was it definitely just the Sligo game?
I suppose the cup run in general was pretty historic. Like it was, like it all started from that game against Athlone. It looked like it was dead and buried, and then Kerry pulled it out of the bag, and then Sligo game, dead and buried, pulled it out of the bag, and then like to see Kerry on national television on RTE in Tallaght Stadium. Look, I know the result didn't go the way anyone wanted, but it was just to see that and to see the exposure. I think that made a lot of people, I think around the country, a lot of people took a lot more notice of Kerry and maybe gave them a little bit more respect that when they came into the league. It was like, oh, look at the results that Kerry have had over these last couple of seasons. But I think it was a real shining light that a lot of people really backed Kerry to get over the line. Everyone was really supporting Kerry to do the job against Shamrock Rovers, and it really gave a lot of people, you know, the belief that Kerry can compete at a League of Ireland level and to grow and to nurture the talent that they've had. And that Sligo game, I think, was evidence of that as well. Like that sent shockwaves around the League of Ireland, that Kerry were 3-0 down and managed to turn it around completely. I think there was a lot of highlights last year, just getting results and the confidence and everything like that. But I think that cup run was just extra special. I think you can't beat the magic of a cup run.
Yeah, Joe, I actually was flicking through YouTube there the other evening, and you know the video came up from the Sligo game, kind of all behind the scenes, everything. It's just every time you just watch it, just keep the goosebumps kind of come back again. It's like, did that actually happen? It still kind of feels like a bit of a dream for all of us that were up there. Dermot Fine, I suppose, look ahead to 2026. The fixture list comes out tomorrow, actually, 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. People will be able to plot their routes around Ireland, wherever they want to go. Obviously, Cove Wanderers are coming to the Kingdom for the Munster Senior Cup last 16, and that's in January. Hopefully, there'll be a quarterfinal out of that also, kind of January, February time. The season kicks off on the 13th of February. Cork City back in the league as well, so plenty to look forward to for Kerry fans, and there's always kind of excitement when a fixture list kind of lands tomorrow, Dermot, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose everyone is going to be looking ahead to see, you know, when's that first home game, when's that first away trip down to Turner's Cross, when's the first time Cork are going to come down. And, you know, everyone will be like, oh, you know, when are we going to play Finn Harps away? I think a lot of people do like the old Finn Harps away trip, or, you know, when are we going to head to Wexford, or when are we going to head to Cove? We always seem to be drawn against Cove at Cove, home. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if we have Cove Ramblers and Cove Wanderers in Kerry being like the first games for 2026 in the prospective competition. So interesting to see that. But, you know, it's great because I suppose we're in that season, we're in that time of the season where, you know, it's pre-season, it's, you know, who's signing who, there's, you know, there's movement from other teams in the divisions, how are other teams, you know, when you're looking at people's early season predictions and they're saying, you know, Kerry look like they could be a playoff contender this year, are other teams strengthening as well? So, you know, it's very interesting to see kind of what other clubs are doing off the you know, on the off season as well. So no, there's a lot of excitement. Hopefully the fixture list is kind now to tomorrow. A home game to start off the season, of course, will be lovely. It'll be fantastic to have them at home and kicking off a new season. But yeah, there'll be plenty of buzz and plenty of atmosphere around the place, that's for sure.
Yeah, we'd have to wait and see. I think it was home the first year, away the second year, home the third year. So my prediction is an away game to start off the season. We have to wait and see. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, you'll find it on all the League of Ireland and Kerry FC's social medias and everything else. Jermot, thanks a million for popping in. So we might touch base again around about that first game of the league season, which of course is mid-February. And we might have a few more new names in the door and people getting excited to head along to watch those Kerry FC games. But Jermot, thanks a million for popping in. That's Dermot Carney there. He's our resident Kerry FC journalist, giving us all the updates there. And yeah, busy off-season in Montauk Park. And I'm sure all the Kerry FC supporters around the county will be looking forward to seeing Kerry back in action in 2026. Time now for a quick break on Terrace Talk. We'll be back to ladies football after these. An ideal Christmas present has just been launched. We'll be talking to the author very shortly.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, where your support means the world to us. From our family to yours, Nulik Hanayev.
Now, so you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Well done to the Cremon ladies team and management to put in a mighty display in the All Ireland Club final, bringing such joy to the kingdom all season. That's from Dermot and Margaret Ann. Thanks indeed for that one. Sticking with ladies football, of course, a nice little one for a stocking filler potentially this week over the next, what is it, 7 or 8 days. The kids will tell me how many sleeps it is till Christmas, but not too far away now, but still time maybe to pick up this one. It's the Ladies Gaelic Football Association, the LGFA yearbook from 2025. Unfortunately, it's a Dublin lady lifting the cup on the front of it. We might sort that one out again next year. But on the line to chat about the book and everything that's in it is, of course, John Fadden, the author. John, you're welcome to Terrace Talk again. I feel nearly wrong talking about a book that has a Dublin captain on the front of it, but pleasure nonetheless. I'm sure there's plenty of Kerry experts in it as well.
They most certainly are, and as a Galway person, believe me, I share your pain as well.
Yeah, it's always is, tough.
And actually, just to explain that, it's the inaugural LGFA yearbook. We're sort of putting it together for the last almost a year or two in it. But one of the things we said when we did put it together and bring it up, we're saying, where are we going to launch it? And we decided that whoever captained the All-Ireland senior winning team, the TG Cahir All-Ireland senior final, we would go to her home club if they'd have us. Carla Rowe's home club, Clonwira in Donal in North Dublin, most certainly did. They rolled out the red carpet for us, so too did Carla. And it turned out, actually, we did it just a couple of weeks ago there. It was her first time back in her own club with the cup since they won it during the summer, back with the Brendan Martin Cup. She has, of course, captained Dublin to win it before, but as I said, this is an occasion for her to go back to her own club, and my goodness, they rolled out the red carpet to feed her and welcome her, and what a fabulous ambassador for the sport as well. But hopefully, continuing that theme, we hope to, you know, go to the Ireland winning captain. Hopefully we'll be going to Kerry before too long. We might even make a shorter journey up the road here in Galway at some point as well. But it's just one of the small things attached to this. It's a novel publication, and as I said, it's just something a little bit different, but something that has certainly got off to a flying start in that regard, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It's something we'd have to tell the punters in their heading to buy the book, that it isn't all about Dublin. It's about everything else. So it's 160 pages. It's a hardback. It looks the part. 400 photographs looking at 36 different ladies' competitions. It really is kind of your go-to encyclopedia maybe for everything that happened in 2025 regarding ladies' football.
Yeah, and the backstory to that is our business media, West Ireland, we cover all the matches for the LGFA from under 14 right through to, like that, the TG Cahir All-Ireland Senior Final. And we've been doing that for the last 7 or 8 years. And it was only when I actually counted them that there were actually 36 competitions that we covered. I'm talking about just nationally now. We haven't got down to county championships or any of that. But you're dealing with under 14. You're dealing with schools, secondary schools, universities, the clubs, and then, of course, the inter-county teams. And I think one of the brilliant things about the LGFA is the fact that they have graded their sports. So you have intermediate, junior, senior, under 14, you have A, B, C, and D, and so on.
So there's an outlet there for everyone, depending on their numbers, depending on, you know, what level of standard they're at. So we just thought maybe it would be good to get all of those competitions under the one roof, as it were, in a yearbook. And, you know, fairness to the LGFA, they supported it from the start. TG Cahir were brilliant to deal with as well. And the key thing was to get it out there and make it available to, you know, there's over 200,000 members in the LGFA now. There's 1,200 clubs. So we've got the first one out there, and without going into too much of a sales pitch, it's €20, and Elvery's have it in most of their outlets, but certainly online, and that's probably at this stage, you're counting down the days to Christmas. They have a brilliant online service to get it out there. And we found, we didn't go around sort of, oh, we need to have something from every county, but we found almost by default the fact that it's so spread. I think there is something from all the 32 counties and indeed abroad. And I know Kerry are disappointed to have relinquished the Brendan Martin Cup, but when you look through it, there's still so much success there from the Munster Championship being retained against Waterford. That great league final win over Armagh, you know, 4-14 to 11 points was pretty decisive. And right up to, dare I mention, the semi-final defeat by Meath. But it's not just at that level. We have about, I think, 64 team photographs of under 10 players from that fabulous Go Games Festival they have in Croke Park. I know Dr. Crokes are in it, St. Pat's from Blennerville are there as well. And then into the underage, you have Kerry's great under-16 All-Ireland final win, the beat Mayo, team managed by Tom O'Connor, 4-17 to 5 points. Like, that's a serious All-Ireland final win. And then the under-14s, beaten by the old rivals Dublin, dare I mention it. but Pipton at 4-6 to 1-12, good final that was. Anyone that was at it, were saying, like, the standard that's there, the standard that's coming through. So it's that sort of cross-section, Ivan, that it's not just the elite top of the pile, it's what's coming through. And then there's a whole series on the non-competitive stuff, mothers and others, various festival days, fun days that really are all about participation. And I must say it was a labour of love putting the whole lot of it together. It was very enjoyable. There was so much there to work with.
Yeah, well, you've made me very happy mentioning Dr. Crokes. You've made my producer next door, Niamh, very happy for mentioning her club, St. Pat's. So we're definitely going to... That's two sales you've got from us there now, John. just as you mentioned, a kind of a labour of love. You said, you know, it's very easy to put something together when you obviously have fierce pride then by the time the book kind of comes together, John. It's you know, I suppose... We've a couple of local books recently that we had lads in, and it's kind of the... almost a weight off their shoulder when it's kind of done. There's so much work goes into them, and I don't think a lot of people from, you know, outside that sort of industry realise, you know, the amount of time it gets to match a photo to a bit of text and everything else. There is a lot in it, so you must really kind of, when you see that printed and you said on the sale inside of Elvery's or inside in your bookshop, that you know is there always a sense of pride when a book is finished off?
There most certainly is, and it's more like in newspapers, more in local radio or any radio. It's you know, the public get to see the finished product. They don't see what was left on the cutting floor, nor should they, but it's part and parcel. I've been in this industry myself for about 40 years, having worked through local papers and various other outlets. And I'll give you an example. We had so much to work with. I didn't have a prototype, a copy. Now, even in the UK, I looked at, was there football books or something that I could at least get a copy from, and there wasn't. So it was like a blank sheet, and I wasn't sure... You know, I thought 160 pages would work, but I speaking to printers, it was a good number as well. And then when I started, I was thinking, gosh, have I got the content for that? And then within a few weeks, I was sort of on the other side of it. Goodness, how am I going to fit all of this in? But to give you an example, I knew what was there with regard to all the various competitions and that other stuff. But Sportsfile, I supply the photographs for the LGFA, and as I've said before, we're blessed in this country. We have Info and Sportsfile, two brilliant, brilliant photographic agencies, and I've worked with both in various publications, but we really are blessed to have some resource like that. And Sportsfile look after all the LGFA stuff, and I went through it, and I reckon I went through about 5,000 photographs to get 400. And when I went through the 5,000, there were still as many more and as many more. It's an endless... And if nothing else, I would say to people involved in it, because when you're playing and it goes from week to week, you mightn't realise the amount of photographs of your game that are actually there They're all available. You can get a look at them if you want to buy them. They're there as well. Mm-hmm. They have a fantastic resource from it, and not just action photographs, there's crowd ones, and I was trying to get as much of a mix of that as possible. I included an awful lot of referees, for example, because
I think
if we all give out about referees, I never refereed myself, I wouldn't have the capability of it, but we've no games if we don't have referees, and I just made a conscious point of trying to include a lot of them. I can't say I have all of them in. I didn't sort of audit right through it or any of that, but we have a lot of them, and deservedly so as well. And in one case, I think it might have been in the league finals, you'd have a father and daughter acting as umpires in one of them. And it's all sort of little quirks as well.
Yeah.
It's something that it just took, I won't say hours and hours, it took weeks and weeks just cutting through that, but it was just brilliant to have that level and resource there to go and select from.
Absolutely, and like that, they've all made the final cut. Jono, thanks very much for taking the time out to chat to us. You mentioned Elvries, I presume, in different bookshops as well?
Yeah, it's primarily, at this stage, it's really just the Elvries outlets around the country are stocking it.
Brilliant.
It's available then from them online
as well.
The LGFA website. But it all goes back to the Elvries online, regardless of what portal you go into, it goes back
perfect.
To them. They're a fabulous West of Ireland business. You can plug them up in Castlebar. So all the stuff is there and it goes out from it, and they'll have it within a day or two. It's only a couple of quid post and package on top of it.
Lovely.
And yeah, hopefully. And as I said, hopefully we might be heading for Tralee or Killarney with the help of God this time next year to launch it down there.
And yeah, absolutely. And stores, Elvries stores, of course, in Tralee and Killarney as well. So you wouldn't know, they might be carrying a couple of them. John, look, thanks again for chatting to us. A very happy Christmas, and thanks for sharing all the details on the book.
Thank you, Ivan, and all your listeners.
Absolute pleasure. That's John. He is, of course, after authoring that book or putting it all together from Media West Ireland, it's the LGFA yearbook from 2025. We're moving to athletics after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, where your support means the world to us. From our family to yours, Nulik Hanayev.
No, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hardy with you until around 8 o'clock. Delighted to be joined by one of our up-and-coming, or maybe current athletes in the county, Nicole Walker from Ballymac. Nicole, you're very welcome. Thanks very much for popping in. I know you're kind of busy at the moment. You have college exams and everything else going on, so I don't want to take you from your studies for too long now or anything like that. Look, there's so much information in front of me. I don't want to be the one to tell you what you did. So you might as well tell our listeners. You had a fantastic year between the college, between the club. You represented Ireland as well. Just talk to us all, I suppose, about the year in general, how 2025 was for you.
Yeah, so thanks for having me in, Ivan. I'm delighted to be here. So my season last year, like it was obviously amazing, but there was a lot of ups and downs throughout the year, as there is with athletics. But I suppose the main highlights really would be that I got to represent Ireland for the first time. So I was really grateful for that opportunity. Kevin Cogley, he's kind of over the under-23 relay team. So I got a phone call from him and asked me to come up to do a time trial for European relay standard. So I was delighted to get that opportunity because it's obviously a huge privilege to represent Ireland. So the second one really would be that I got my first national medal, the under-23 200 metres. I came third, so I was delighted to get that medal because it's obviously a huge milestone and it's always a privilege to get a medal at national level, and then Munster level as well. But also I suppose the main thing really was that I got to represent my college MTU for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's obviously a huge group of us there and there's amazing talent there. So I'm delighted to be involved in that now for the next 4 years. So we had the indoors in March and the outdoors in April. So the outdoors are probably the main highlight for me really because I came fourth in the final, and first semi-final. So I was delighted to be at that standard because I was in my first year competing there. So you kind of be compete against fourth year students. So it's just great to be able to be at that level. And also with the relay girls, I'm with three other relay team members who are of superior talent also, so it's just a privilege to be able to, you know, kind of get onto that whole group, and like it's obviously just growing so fast in MTU, so I'm delighted to be part of it.
Yes, so talk to me a small bit. I suppose we often hear of kind of colleges, football and everything else, and Sigerson Cups is talked about in football terms, but being able to represent the college as well, that's kind of a nice one where you're kind of studying and kind of you spend most of your time there, don't you, between studying and classes and everything else. So to be able to wear the kind of, I know that wearing Ireland and everything else in your club is unraked, but to be able to wear the MTU top as well, that's a nice one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely because, you know, I'm on a scholarship up there as well, so there's so much support up there for me. Like, you know, there's always people checking in, seeing how it's going, and like there's such support between the athletes also. You know, like when you go up there, everyone's kind of checking in each other, and like it just feels like a team environment. And then also because obviously it's an individual sport, but it really does take a community when you're competing in athletics. It's not just one person, it's about the people that are behind you, so like your club, your coach, your club. It's just it takes a neighbourhood, really. It's not just one person.
Yeah, and great facilities up in the MTU now as well, since they built the sports academy at the back, so you've kind of got your gyms and everything up there that you can train away from the books for a while.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm in the middle of exams now, so it's nice to be able to, you know, go up to the gym if I need to. And like there's such good facilities up there, like the KSA, it's become a huge facility for me as an athlete, but also just for the general public, so it's great.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic to have that in our doorstep. So it's kind of the 60 metres and 200 metres you're kind of really concentrating on, and then you kind of mentioned the relay. I always kind of find it interesting in athletics because it is, as you mentioned, it does take a community, but oftentimes you are on your own. But then the relay, all of a sudden, you know, we've seen the girls on the TV, the Charlie Mosley and everything else. There seems to be a real good bond between them. So, you know, do you find it kind of strange all of a sudden you're kind of running on your own, you know, trying to do your 60 metres, your 200 metres, and then all of a sudden you're kind of part of a team of four? Does it add a small bit of pressure? You have to run fast. Are you worried you might drop the baton? Does it add a small bit to the sport? Is something different maybe to what you're running on your own?
Yeah, it's definitely different. Like, it does. It comes with pressure as well because obviously you have three other people's expectations too. But I think there's also not kind of a nice feel to it because, you know, you've come off of a environment where it's just solely you, and then you're kind of bringing into like a kind of team environment where, like, you know, you win together, you lose together. So it is really nice. And also obviously the Irish relay teams, they've been so inspiring that you can actually see the advancement of relays in Ireland, and it's just really inspiring. Like, I know myself and the three girls, we were so inspired when we were competing in the varsities by just watching Charlie Mosley and Sophie Becker, how they performed.
And you kind of watch them and kind of say, that's where I kind of want to be in a couple of years' time. Do you feel like you're kind of supporting them? Do you kind of get to know these people when you're at the different athletics events? Is it sort of everyone's all in this together for the greater good of kind of Irish athletics?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think just watching the way that they can get onto the national stage, like at national levels, and, you know, advance onto international, and, like, you know, just put Ireland on the stage, because it's such like a high competition level when you come out of Ireland. You've so many strong relay teams, so for Ireland to be actually at that level, it's so inspiring, even for younger age groups. We can kind of see it in Ireland, like Kerry Athletics, like they're just expanding so much with the younger children, you know, they're so inspired by what everyone else is doing and what's actually capable.
Yeah, is that a dream of yours? That obviously we know how big the European Championships are, the World Championships, we hear the Indoor Championships, and obviously the Olympic Games is probably the pinnacle. You know, it's very hard to have to get young boxers in here and stuff. I always ask them the Olympic question, and it always is kind of a tough one to answer. But is that always kind of in the back of your mind, if you keep pushing yourself and working towards it, you might meet that standard someday?
Yeah, definitely. I think when you're kind of at that level, like, you know, at my age, it's always in the back of your mind. You know, it's always a dream what one day might be fulfilled. But yeah, no, it's always in the back of my mind, saying, you know, anything could be possible.
Yeah, and obviously seeing the success of the girls at the, you know, qualifying for the Olympics, winning their semi-finals, stuff like that, that obviously gives you great motivation that you're kind of saying, if they can do it, I can kind of do this thing. And obviously you want to wish them all well, but you want to be able to qualify as well, so it's all down to your kind of times and everything else. But seeing that Irish success must kind of spur you on more to say, this is definitely a possibility for me in the future.
Yeah, I think just watching like how Ireland has performed, like particularly Charlie Mosley, you know, it's so inspiring that, like, if you actually apply yourself, like, and obviously take so much training in athletics, but you know what actually is possible when you step out of the national stage, and what you actually can go on to do, because it opens so many doors really once you kind of get outside of Ireland as well.
Yeah, and you can see how emotional they were, couldn't you, at the end when, you know, it didn't go their way in the end, and it kind of felt like they'd kind of left the country down or something. I don't know what they, you know, there was so emotional, because all of us at home were only delighted for their progression. So no, lovely to see. The Olympics is a bit down the road. Obviously, it's 28, I think we're in LA, but that might be a small bit close. So 2026 is what we're going to ask you now, before we finish up, Nicole. What's the sort of look ahead for the year, the outlook? You're obviously back with the MTU, you'll have the club, hoping to go back for the Ireland Vest again.
Yeah, definitely. You know, obviously last season it kind of came with highs and lows with injury, but I kind of learned a lot of lessons from last year. It kind of gave me perspective on things. You know, the main thing really is just to stay injury free and just act to be able to compete. So I'm kind of looking forward to next season, really, just to see where it goes. And I want to build on, you know, the MTU group as well, and just being able to see what we can actually do in that relay team, because we obviously came fourth and broke many MTU records. So, you know, it'll be exciting to see what our team can do in the future and just see how it goes. I'm looking forward to it.
Just finally, before you go, just kind of staying that injury free, as you say, obviously it's not a sport where you're kind of getting, you know, tackled out in a football pitch or whatever, so just kind of your own injuries kind of rely on kind of your own work. Obviously, you know, things can happen, you can stumble or whatever else, but just in general, it's kind of staying injury free is all about maybe your own training, the gym, and how you maybe kind of manage that workload. Is that where kind of athletics injuries kind of come into it, and kind of being able to mind yourself throughout the year as well?
Yeah, I think because obviously in athletics you have to train quite a lot. Like, I'm kind of training about 6 days a week, so it comes with its costs, so it's kind of just trying to manage it, really. But I'm really lucky to have a good, like, support team around me, so when I did get injured, you know, everyone was really supportive, and just able to guide me through it. So grateful to come out the other side, and just I kind of learned a lot of lessons from it too, so
and plenty of preparation for next year. Look, Nicole, a pleasure to chat to you. Thanks for popping in. Best of luck with the rest of the exams. Enjoy the Christmas. Hope you're not training 6 days a week now over Christmas. You're surely entitled to a small bit of turkey and everything else. Look, pleasure chatting to you, and hopefully we might get you in next year, hopefully maybe with another national medal or two in your back pocket as well.
Thanks, Ivan. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. That's Nicole Walker there, one of our up and coming athletes. We'll be talking about where Sam Maguire is heading for Christmas, a charity walk this time, but still a walk nonetheless, a tough one, and that we'll be chatting to Gerry Healy very shortly about that.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, where your support means the world to us. From our family to yours, Nulik Hanayev.
Yeah, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. And ironically enough, the man I'm going to talk to now just comes on after the ad talked about profiteroles and every sort of Christmas dessert that's out there. Gerry Healy, you're welcome along. Delighted to be able to chat to you this evening. And fairly quickly, unfortunately, because the time's almost up. But where's Sam Maguire heading on the 27th of December, tell me?
27th of December, Ivan, the Sam Maguire is heading on the old Kinmare Road at 9:30 in the morning. We're meeting at the top car park. Anyone that wouldn't know that, if you pass out the Muckross Road going for Kinmare, you pass the entrance to Muckross House. It's the next lift. You go up there. We're meeting there from 9 o'clock on, and we're heading for Kinmare then. Now, Ivan, it's a friendly walk. It's a very friendly walk, but you still need the right footwear and the right, you know, bring a bit of food and supplies or whatever. But there will be some crack, I can guarantee you that. There's a set dance with Sam Maguire down at down in Eskimokie Glen in the sheep shed there. That's the plan.
It's a very Kerry sort of a day out, I think, Derry, is fair to say. Sam Maguire, I've had it in my hands a couple of times, never as a captain or anything, but I've had it in my hands a couple of times. It's a heavy enough all cup, so I'm sure you'd be passing it along the line of walkers with you for everyone to carry it for some bit of the walk.
We would, of course. There'd be no problem. We're delighted to have Sam Maguire here in Kerry, I can assure us. But, do you know, Ivan, what we want to say as well, there's a few things that just to let people know. If for more information, like, you can go on to the Kerry Mountain Rescue social media page, or Valerie O'Sullivan, the photographer, her page, or my own. And in that page, on those pages, you'll get a link, Eventbrite link. We want everybody that's using the bus. We have a free bus on the other side in Kinmare, our buses coming back to Killarney. Mm-hmm. But you have to register your name. It's free of charge, but it will give us an idea of numbers. Now, you can equally make your own way, or even if you want to walk a mile and turn, or do go to Derry Cunningham Church and turn, there's no problem. But you can donate to the Kerry Mountain Rescue. Every penny goes to the Kerry Mountain Rescue. You can donate to them on that link if you're going to Valerie's page, or my own, or the Kerry Mountain Rescue. Or in the morning, you can also make donations.
Yeah, and obviously a hugely important charity right here in Kerry. Derry, unfortunately, we do hear of the Kerry Mountain Rescue call-outs, you know, often, which is great for walkers being able to get up and down the mountain, but they're such a, I suppose, vital resource in Killarney and in the greater Kerry area for all the work they do. And again, they're total, you know, it's a voluntary organisation, so a great way to kind of, you know, get a few funds in for them over Christmas as well.
Absolutely, and we have a very small, there's only a few of us together. There's one man, you know him well, James Cahill. He had a bad fall a number of years ago coming down Carrantool, and if you speak to James, he will praise the Kerry Mountain Rescue to the hilt. We've actually two guys from the Kerry Mountain Rescue guiding us, Rob Fell and John Hosey. They're fantastic. And Dave Hurley, that great spa man and Kerry man, actually he came up with the idea that when Sam is here, we'd have to do something with it.
Sam should have Christmas off now is what I think. We're all enjoying our turkey and everything else, but he's being dragged across the old Khmer Road. Look, Derry, the very best luck. We're unfortunately out of time. Looking forward to seeing the video clips and photographs from this. So there's a set with Sam halfway down the old Khmer Road and the walk carrying the cup as well, and a great way maybe to work off a few extra pounds and calories we might have put up over the Christmas break. Derry, look, thanks very much for joining us and the very best luck with us.
You're a gent. Thanks, Ivan.
Pleasure.
Thanks
very
much. Good luck. God bless.
If you want to find out more information there, or the Kerry Mountain Rescue, that's Derry Healy there for joining us, and they're bringing Sam for a set across the old Khmer Road. Mary Conroy could bring the accordion and play the tune for the set maybe there as well. Thanks to everyone who joined us this evening, to Dan Kearney and to Breed O'Shea in the first hour, to Anna-Marie Donoghue, the Cremorne manager, of course, to Mark Burke, the Kerry ladies manager, and to everyone there in the second hour, to Dermot, to John, to Nicole and Derry. We'll do it all next week. It's our Christmas quiz, so don't miss that one. Always my highlight of the year on Terrace Talk. Thanks to Niamh, who produced. And we'll be back next week with the famous Christmas quiz. So long, all.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, where your support means the world to us. From our family to yours, Nulla Kanaheev.